From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. Today is Monday, July 21st. I'm Ala Kuziz. The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band started as a jug band, became a titan of country music radio, and then went back to the roots of country and bluegrass.
We've always sort of believed in the American music history, legacy, and I think we've always been a part of that.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin speaks with a founding member of the Dirt Band about its farewell tour, which lands in Chesterfield Thursday. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. A detainee at the St. Louis City Justice Center died this weekend, the 20th death at the jail since 2020. 31-year-old Samuel Hayes Jr. was pronounced dead Saturday evening. Police say it followed an altercation between Hayes and another person inside a jail cell. Police say Hayes did not respond to verbal commands and was placed in a restraint chair. He was found unresponsive later that evening and was taken to a hospital where he was pronounced dead. The SLMPD Force Investigation Unit is investigating. Mayor Kara Spencer says her office is committed to a full review of what led to the death. Corrections Commissioner Doug Burris says the department is cooperating with the investigation. Meanwhile, documents obtained by St. Louis Public Radio show internal turmoil and possible violations of federal law at St. Louis's jail. St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz reports.
Disciplinary records shed new light on the final days of Jail Commissioner Jennifer Clemens Abdullah before she was fired last December by then-Mayor Tashara Jones. Just one day earlier, Clemens Abdullah accused her deputy Tammy Ross of failing to act after a detainee died in his cell and allowing juveniles to speak with adult detainees. The latter could be a violation of federal law. Ross admitted to both incidents, citing severe overcrowding and staff shortages. Clemens Abdullah demoted Ross on December 20th. The next day, the mayor canned Clemens Abdullah and promoted Ross to acting jail commissioner. Now Ross serves as an administrative assistant to interim commissioner Doug Burris. Jones and jail officials declined to comment on the move. I'm Brian Munoz, St. Louis Public Radio.
A new proposal from an architecture firm hired by St. Louis Public Schools recommends the district close over half of its schools for the 2026-2027 year. Cordigan Clark & Associates estimates that it'll cost the district over $1.8 billion to maintain its many aging buildings over the next decade. The district is also projected to lose thousands of students due to population loss and declining birth rates. The proposal will be presented during a public work meeting with the Board of Education on Tuesday. No final decisions have been made yet about the district's future. According to St. Louis City officials, over 780 businesses have reported damage from the May 16th tornado. Business owners in every ward reported some level of loss. However, those in the 10th ward suffered the most. 69 were severely damaged. Alderwoman Shamim Clark Hubbard represents the 10th ward, and she says it's harder for older Black communities to attract new businesses, and natural disasters can be devastating to their economy.
When they made the choice to come over and try to do business in some of these areas that might not have the foot traffic and the built-in resources, something like this hurts in a different kind of way.
Clark Hubbard encourages business owners who have yet to do so to reach out to the city for recovery options. Two St. Louis music festivals are using upcoming events to help out victims of the May tornado. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, one festival is donating its net proceeds towards storm recovery.
Evolution Festival in Forest Park will donate its profits from ticket, merchandise, concession, and parking sales to the United Way of Greater St. Louis. It follows the festival's decision to become a nonprofit. Steve Shankman is founder and executive producer of Evolution Festival. He says he's pledging a minimum of $100,000 to go toward the United Way.
We're hoping, because United Way is our partner this year, and the money is going to go all towards storm relief, then that proceeds, that we get a lot more people interested in buying a ticket.
The festival will take place September 27th and 28th. Maddie, formerly known as Music at the Intersection, is also donating a portion of its proceeds to tornado relief efforts. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
After 5 years of planning and construction, 7th Street in downtown St. Louis looks very different than it did before. From Walnut Street to Washington Avenue, repaved 7th Street boasts new trees and lighting, sidewalk improvements, and new protected bike lanes. Those bike lanes are especially important to Mayor Kara Spencer, who biked to a Friday press conference.
I'm a cyclist myself, and this is just an incredible improvement to the infrastructure down here in downtown. Downtown's the grow are downtowns that are built for people, not just cars. And this is the way it should be.
Future road improvements are coming to 20th Street, Tucker Boulevard, and Broadway. A group of Southern California teenagers formed the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band amid the folk revival of the mid-60s. The group became a pillar of country music radio for decades, scoring 17 straight top 10 singles. The Dirt Band plays Chesterfield Amphitheater on Thursday as the group bids farewell to touring. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin asked founding member Jimmy Fadden why the band will now focus on occasional shows and studio recordings.
I just don't think the idea of getting on the bus and staying on the bus for 3 weeks is something any of us wants to do anymore. It's just that it's physically difficult. I think we sort of earned a little extra time in the past year. That's kind of it.
Your late 60s records really sound of the time. I thought there was a harpsichord on there, but it's actually John McCune muting his banjo in a certain way.
Buy for me the rain, my darling, buy for me the rain.
After you had some success and were able to call up legends of bluegrass and country music for the Will the Circle Be Unbroken album in 1972, what did it mean to the band to be able to go back to the roots like that?
It was the experience of getting to hang out with those that we had idolized and learned from and saw as the roots of the folk music era. The music of the Circle album was music of rural America, and the folk music scene was music of rural America idealized and politically more directed, whereas the country music scene was more emotionally directed.
You are my flower.
I don't think there was any discussion of any kind of bigger motives other than to show our audience who really influenced us.
And then by the late 70s, early 80s, you start having hits that have the fiddle and the banjo front and center, but it's also right at home on pop radio.
I beg your pardon, Mama, what did you say? My mind was drifting off on Martinique Bay.
I guess you were just changing with the times?
I don't know that we were focusing on an outcome. The only thing was we hoped that people that had been listening to us would continue to listen to us and find that what we were doing enjoyable. I hear stories all the time about what somebody happened to be doing at the time. They heard An American Dream, and so-and-so and their friends were having a party, and I met my girlfriend there, and we later got married, and here's our kids.
You had so much success along those lines in the 80s and 90s, and then your records this century have gone back to the roots again. What was behind that evolution?
We've always sort of believed in the American music history, legacy, and I think we've always been a part of that. The middle of America for us has really been our stock and trade. You know, if you're living in California, you're not talking about Missouri or you're not talking about Kansas or Iowa, but we would go out and tour even when we were living on the West Coast and play these places and go back to California and think, you know, I don't think you people get it. You're missing that there's a lot going on out there between the coasts. Essentially, I guess you would call it the third coast.
In the middle?
Yes, in the middle. Surf's up in Iowa.
I'm gonna lay around the shack till the mail train comes back. I'm rolling my sweet baby's arms. Saturday night, baby. Well, I was laying
right down there. And
that was Nitty Gritty Dirt Band co-founder Jimmy Fadden speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin. Tracy Tong edited that story. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Arla Kuziz, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.